Jesus. Father, I just thank you for your word that's going out tonight. I thank you that it cannot and will not return void. I just give you all the praise, honor, and glory that the needs of each and every person here is met, spirit, soul, and body. Amen? I could have just got lost in the worship, I think. Because it doesn't take a lot for me to get lost. When you stay in His presence a lot, it's harder to come out than it is to stay in. I can remember the days when I had to battle my flesh so hard to get in His presence. But when you continue fellowshipping with Him on a daily basis, it gets easier and easier. And then I call it the wet blanket treatment. The enemy will come in with like a big fog or wet blanket, and then you feel like you're plowing all over again. But that's okay. He still hears us even when we don't feel like He does. Amen? I've been thinking a lot today on the tactics that the enemy uses against us. I'm glad you guys don't mind if I wander around. Sometimes they put me on a leash. It's very hard. I tell them all I needed was a collar. It does something to you. Those long cords, don't they? Poor dogs. Think about it. Anyway, I told him I'm pretty well trained. I won't get too wild if you let me loose. Maybe. Go ahead. I like that. Go ahead, Donner. I love Bronken Candy. It's good to be back here. It really is. It's been a refreshing for me. Because you guys, you know, you till up the ground, you worship, you pray, you cover everything you can think of, slap every devil that moves. Makes it easy. Can't say it's always easy. But some places when I go in, they're not accustomed or haven't been taught the way we have. So, you know, you can't offend people, so you got to be careful how you bring it in. Because he said to be so careful not to offend the least in the kingdom of God. So I try really hard. I told him I didn't go to tack and finesse school, so it's not always easy for me. I tell them, what you see is usually what you get. That's just the way I am. You know, and for some people, I wear my best polyester. I can't help myself, you know. I even wore it on television. Everybody else wanting to wear their, you know, real expensive stuff, and I'm going, but polyester doesn't wrinkle. I'm like, God doesn't care what we wear. And the more I go around and meet with people, the more they find out how little about real religious looking things God does care about. You know, I was going to borrow a friend of mine's robe just so I could look real religious once, just to see what it felt like. But I lost my nerve. I didn't ask. Well, it looks so right. Yeah, righteous. Thank you. You know, just said, yeah, Reverend Donner. I laugh when people say stuff like that. You know, I get mail every once in a while that says Reverend Donner, and I'm going, who's that? Anyway, the devil doesn't like me because I'm too kicked back. But you know, I got his number. When I was on the other side, I thought he was something, you know. But he's really nothing. And I told him, I said, for all the chaos that they cause, they really do just come out as little slime balls. I call it devil's spooge. You know, because it's too foul. You know, you can't give it a real grotesque name. It would scare people. So devil's spooge is pretty good. You know, it just comes out of them. Somebody tried to tell me one time that devils couldn't inhabit a Christian. And I said, well, don't tell that to the one I just saw slithering all over the floor with devil spooge coming out of him. They said, where's that in the Bible, devil spooge? And I said, Well, the one did roll around in the fire and, you know, foamed at the mouth. I guess they just didn't know what spooge was back in those days. But what makes it even worse is when you have that kind of contempt for the devil that you don't shake and tremble when you see these things. Actually, Bronx has been with me when devils were coming out of people, and I just stand there and kind of laugh at them. And we're just like, oh, brother, another one. And everybody's wanting to punch on them and scream and hold them down, and I'm like, let them up. If you have to do that, you don't know what your authority is anyway.
Amen.
Let them go. You're going to be one of them ones running down the street naked with a couple of black eyes. And do us all a favor and don't go that far. So, you know, I told him, I said, but you have to know who you are in him, for real. Because the devil, he knows your heart too. He knows when you're just putting up a smoke screen and you don't really know who you are.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a champion at what he does. And he's a liar, a manipulator. He can set it up so good. And then I have to laugh because he always does dumb things to blow his cover. You know, he overplays his hand all the time. We don't know if every person that got killed was born again, but I know the majority of them were. So, you know, to me it still is the truth. Oh, death, where is your sting? They're not dead. And when they told me I was dying, I got so sick. I was doing good to crawl out of the bed that day and just do my work. The devil kept telling me, you're going to die. It's like playing ping pong. You'll live, you'll die. You'll live, you'll die. I'm going, I'll live, I'll live, I'll live. But he tries so hard to convince you that you'll never make it. He hits and drills your mind and emotions so hard you don't know if you're coming or going. But I told him, I said, even if I died, because I love horses. Anybody that loves horses can relate with what I'm saying. I told him, I said, I'll be one of them that gets to come back and throw you in the lake of fire. So either way, it's a win-win situation. And I don't think he likes the idea of me coming back going, I told you so. He said, that woman just never shuts up. And it's the truth. I don't. I used to be real quiet till I got properly provoked, but now I'm not quiet anymore, and it's okay because I'm fully activated for God.
Hallelujah.
And I told him, I said, and boy, did the Lord have his hands full. I was just sharing a little bit of it with Bronk earlier. Because I said, yeah. I said, I've had a few lessons in life. I didn't like it in jail. Spent 5 days in there when I was 20 for fighting. Somebody was laughing at a family member, and I got so mad I was going to whip all four of them. And there was two sheriffs sitting over there that decided I wasn't going to whip anybody. So I ended up in jail for 5 days. Judge didn't like me, and I was lucky I didn't get 3 years because I told him I didn't like him either. So, but I said, Your Honor, sir, I don't like you either. I was real, you know, political. You know, that's proper. I was proper about it. But that wasn't the first time I had the law called on me. I had them called on me when I was 4 for fighting. See, that's what the devil does to people. He can take kids and train them up to be violent. I was like a watchdog. They could sick me on people and I would attack. We had to use community showers. We lived in a farm labor camp where all the migrant workers lived. We worked, lived in it, and we didn't have a shower curtain. So my sister told me, she says, make them girls quit staring at us, Donna, because she was too old to go beat them up. They were 7 and 3, and I was 4. So I went over there and beat the daylights out of both of them. Almost took one of them's eye out. They had to take her to a doctor, stitch her up. So the parents got mad and called the police. And when the police came, we were at the community store, you know, where they'd go in the morning and take all your money, and that way you could never get out of the camp. And so I was walking across the stools, and I saw the uniforms. I understood that authority. You know, there was something about those uniforms. And so I walked over, but I never would say I'm sorry to the policeman. But I looked at Mama, and I said, "I'm real sorry I got you in trouble, Mama. Am I going to get a whipping?" But I never would tell that. And that policeman looked at me and said, "She did all that." Because I had a devil even then. When they manifest, you're strong. But see, I thought I was protecting my family. I thought I was doing what I was told, which I was. And needless to say, those girls never peeked at us again. Never. But after that, they even sicked a dog on me. Tell you how my family was. My sister went and broke the dog's jaw for biting me. We were a rough bunch. And the girls, unfortunately, was meaner than the men. So when I tell people, I said, I have a good idea what it's like out there. I'm serious. I do know what the devil does to people and what he does to families. It's nothing funny. I thought a kid in one another camp we lived in, I thought this kid killed my brother Steve. Pushed him in a pen with a big Hereford bull. You know how big those things are? Scared my brother so bad because he was real little. He got a bloody nose and was standing in a pool of blood. Freaked me out. Again, I got sicked on the one that did it. This time it was my mama, and she told me, if you don't whip him, I'm going to whip you when you come back. So I whipped him. I ripped off his new shirt, tore up his suspenders. He was getting out of there with nothing. Nothing. We was rolling around fighting. I mean, going to Fist City. And they end up calling the police then, too. All by the age of 6. Rough is right. I learned that I wasn't going to put up with being abused anymore when I was real young. By the time I was 14, an adult was scared to hit me. Because I'd pick up whatever I could find and lay them out. I got tired of being beat up. But see, now we're letting the devil do it. Because he comes in different disguises and different forms. I mean, I've had my mom go after me with... Remember when the rubbing alcohol bottles used to be glass? She's going to hit me in the back of the head with one time when I was 14. I remember her taking after me with a knife one time when she was drunk, and I raised a chair up and she stuck it that far in the chair. I understand domestic violence. I used to wash the blood off the ceilings after my stepdad had beat my mom up. And I'd stand and get in between them, then she'd get mad and I'd get it by both of them. You don't want to get in between those kind of fights. See, the other siblings, they're smart, they got out. Grandpa took my brother Steve when he was 12 and took him back to the farm in Missouri. So I had to fend for myself. Pretty much lived with my sister, got living babysitting jobs. I never stayed home. So there's people out there that still have it that rough. I don't like what the devil does to our families. I don't like what he does to people, period. But if we don't start learning what he's about, he's going to win a big majority. Because the word says that many will fall from their faith. We need to understand his tactics. And if he can start poisoning the mind of our young people like he was doing mine. I was angry at God when I was little. I was angry. That anger led me on into witchcraft. And that's real too for all the people that thinks it's just a spoof. Demons are real. The devil is real. Satan has been mentioned more times in the Bible than the angels. But you're right about the ostrich devil. We got people that don't want to contend with it because, you know, it just gets a little too spooky. I remember the look on people's faces in our church when my brother said, I don't know if some of you heard the tape, where something come in, a presence come in, and it was shaking the wheat that was in this arrangement, and there was no breeze in the room, and it was just shaking it. He said, they can do stuff like that. And I'm laughing because I'm going, that's it. They came in my house and left big claw marks in my chairs. Wood chairs. Took it down. And it had six fingers, whatever it was. And I don't have any pets. My roommate at the time got scared. And I told her, I said, they can't touch you. I said, they'll move on your fear. And I said, but really, if you have no fear and you know who you are in Him, they can try to intimidate you, but they really can't touch you. There's something about that name.
Yes.
Jesus, they hate it. See, even the devils know who He is. But they'll lie about that too. When Satan came to sift Jesus after that 40-day fast, he drilled him. He went after the things that He does to us too. The first thing He went after was the flesh. When He said, let's go over to Matthew 4. He said then, we'll start with verse 1. But this gives you, if He's going to do this to Jesus, we're not exempt. Correct? We can have victory. We already have it through Jesus, but we need to apply it in our lives. We have the victory. I will not give the devil any room. It's not happening. When they asked me one time when I was in North Carolina, they said, what was your highest recommendation for fighting the devil? I said, I have two recommendations. I said, love everyone like He loved you. And I said, and forgive everything that moves. I said, because He's looking for a hook, a place. I said, now the other sins of the flesh and different other things, you can ask God to help you get rid of those, and there is a grace and a mercy to cover you while you're getting rid of it. But unforgiveness, not once did He say, did I see anywhere that He said it's okay not to forgive. He said, if you can't forgive, the Heavenly Father can't forgive you. I just don't believe we're going to be sitting in the presence of someone if He hadn't forgiven us. I don't think you'll ever sit in the Father's presence if you haven't forgiven. And you know you need to. No matter what justifiable fleshly cause you have, which that is our carnal nature, whatever reason you think you have, and it may be a good one, may be one of the best. I know I argued with God for 3 days, but don't you know what they did to me? Don't you know? Rain fire on their head, that'd be better. Of course, I was only 3 months old in the Lord. I really wanted them. I didn't want them forgiven. I wanted them punished. Until He softened my heart and started teaching me, I was a mess that way. And when He told me, and it leaped out at me, the Scripture did, you have to forgive. I cried for 3 days. And I don't cry easy. I was trained not to cry. Now I cry whenever I feel like it. Sometimes I'm just a bawling, slobbering mess. Because I'm free. I don't really care if people think I'm, oh, look at what's wrong with her. If I need to cry, I cry. If I'm laughing, I'm laughing. Like I said, usually what you see is what you get. There is absolutely nothing fancy about me. I have to tease them all the time. I said, you can dress me up, but you can't take me out. I'm just a mess. But still, He'll put us in the presence of kings and queens just because we love Him. And we won't back down when the truth is out there. I have been asked with political figures, what do they need to do? Give me a message to give them. I said, tell them not to compromise. That'd be the best thing they could do. Would you tell them that? I said, yeah, I'll tell them that. When I spoke about some things in North Carolina, a person wrote a letter trying to explain what I meant, and I said, no, they just need to ask me. I was pretty plain about it. I can tell you what I meant. But they wanted to smooth it over because their fear of people not giving to them anymore. When I said, you're not under a curse, that Jesus loves you. He loves a cheerful giver and He'll bless you, but you're not under a curse. He'll bless you whether you have it or not. Just because you're His child, you're His creation. Like I said, with the kids and stuff, Bronk's not going to slap his daughters and say, well, I'll help you if you give me, 10% of everything you are. Give me a break. Our Heavenly Father wouldn't do that to us. But He does want us to take care of each other. But it needs to be from the heart. And I've asked the Lord to enlarge my heart. I said, enlarge it so we can meet the needs of many people. When Bronk was talking about me going into little nooks and crannies, it's true. I've gone on trips to where I just went to minister to just a family because their son had schizophrenia. I told them not to advertise the meeting, so that way what we had to do wouldn't be interrupted. They were a little stunned that somebody would do that or go. But you see, human life is valuable. It's valuable. We can't throw it away. We can't throw people away. Especially when they're trying. And if they're not trying, we got to pray till they will. Push back the forces of darkness that seems to surround them all the time, clouding their thinking. And sometimes those clouds are pretty thick. Anyway, back to how the enemy goes after people. In Matthew 4:1, it says, then Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when He had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, He was afterward and hungered. And then the tempter came to Him and He said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made of bread. Now see, that's the first lie. Satan knew He was the Son of God. But if you are, to see so He could trip Him up, like to prove Himself to Satan. He didn't have to. But notice Jesus always responded with the word. But He answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So when the devil comes to us, what are we supposed to do? Agree with him or say what God has to say about it? Now this is all basic stuff. You all know this. But sometimes when we can look at it from a different light, it registers better. Because we can't say what we want. We can't live like we want. We can't do what we want because our original on the earth mentor was the devil until we got born again. He's the father of all lies. He's deceiving. He's mocking. He's ruthless. And he lies all the time. As we talk, me and Candy, we like to get together, these sharp spiritual minds here. We get together and we discuss devils. Like, are deaf devils really deaf? If they are deaf, why do they go when you tell them to leave? They had to hear you. Now, dumb devils are really dumb because they don't worship God. Anything that doesn't worship God's pretty dumb. But you got to have fun with what you do, too. The Lord has a sense of humor, whether people think so or not. Then He'll try to tempt the soul. It says, then the devil taketh him up to the holy city, set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest they dash thy foot against a stone. Now see, that's what Satan... Now, here we'll just take Evangelist Kate, for instance. Kate, go ahead and climb up to the tallest mountain, and you just go ahead and jump off. The angels will catch you. You'll get your name in the newspapers. You'll be a famous evangelist from then on. But that's not what would have happened had he listened to the devil. Would have killed him. And then they'd said, Oh, foolish man. Why was you listening? But see, that's the way the devil does this too. He'll want us to do great exploits without getting a clearance from God. And we'll end up looking the foolish one. It's kind of like in a simpler form. It's like the one that they told the story about. My brother told it. He said this guy prayed and said God told him to go down to the barber shop at 2:00 and pray for the man. So he went down there at 2:00. The barber shop was closed. He said, Why would God lie? God didn't lie. You didn't hear God. But you told everybody you was going down there and nothing happened. You got to be sure you're hearing the right voice. Amen? Because he's going to get more and more deceptive. Sometimes it's so close in a form of godliness, it's hard to tell. Unless you really get... And sometimes you even have to ask the Lord, Lord, I really need a confirmation on this. Because the enemy, he'll come to try to get you off a degree. Just a degree, that's all it takes for you to miss the whole boat. Kind of like when you're taking a map. When you take just one road off, you don't end up in the same place you originally planned on going. And I know that's true because I've taken a lot of wrong turns. I have no sense of direction yet. Been believing for one. When they say north, it feels like south to me. You know, I guess my clock is messed up. Everything's kind of backwards. Send me to Seattle and I end up in Canada. What are they thinking? My first trip, driving. They said, look for this bridge. Stay on I-5 till you see this bridge. Well, I never saw the darn bridge. I ended up in Canada. They gave me the wrong name. And what was bad is I even stopped at a gas station and asked them. They said, no, that's not it. Keep going. I kept going. When we ended up at customs, I told my daughter, I said, I don't think customs is in Seattle. My lightning quick mind said. They were laughing. They got a kick out of it. I said, can I turn around? It's bad. Then when I went over to Israel, they thought I'd probably go via Japan or something. And I said, no, I'll get there. My first trip overseas, I had to meet somebody in Denmark. We found each other. I sat there. I didn't move from where they told me till that woman showed up. I was determined I wasn't going to get lost again because I don't speak Danish or Swedish or any of the above. I'm glad they put it in English and whatever. I got the whatever down good. Jesus said unto him, It is written, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. A good example of that too is the snake charm people. You know, the snake handlers, the churches. You'd think after their third or fourth pastor died and two or three families were disappearing, they'd quit. When that happened to Paul, he wasn't trying to handle snakes. They were in the brush and bit him. But when they go into that, that's what we really are, tempting God when we do stuff like that. That's not faith to handle them things. Why would you want a bunch of ugly old serpents running around your church anyway? I don't like snakes. I don't even think they ought to save them for anything. I'm sorry. They only make good wallets and hat bands. And rattlesnake meat don't taste half bad. So, kind of tastes like chicken. Have you noticed everything tastes like chicken? Except chicken. But I told him, I said, why would you want to do something like that? And then bring your kids in, and they all see this, and they see, and they turn away from God over it because it's just so hellacious. They did that special on them before because the families did die. The pastor did get bit, so did the wife a few years back. Why would you want to do that? And sit there and say, you know, if you have faith, you can handle serpents and you'll live. Or they'd drink strychnine. They'd do all sorts of stupid stuff. But there was a man serving Satan, they said years ago, that he could actually swallow strychnine and eat broken glass and everything until those devils were cast out of him. Then he couldn't do it anymore. There's a devil involved in that stuff. But they'll sit there and say they love God. They'll take on a form of religion. One church down in Louisiana got busted. They found them in the basement. They had a big hexagram and candles and chanting and practicing witchcraft right there in their church. And it was a Pentecostal church. We're at a time and a place where we need to make a stand. God needs to be able to trust us with His Word, that we won't pervert it or change it, that we'll live for Him, and we won't be swayed in our opinion. We won't have two opinions, one for this bunch over here and one for this one over here. I want my opinion to be the same no matter who I'm talking to. I told him, I said, it's not good to be swayed in your thinking when the enemy's attacking you because you'll get real confused. He said, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, so do you believe God did it or not? You know, I mean, I'm not saying there's not obstacles that we have to overcome, but are we going to be swayed from the truth because it didn't come the way we thought it should? Or because somebody else got hurt or fell? We can't be swayed. He is an awesome God. And there's nothing stronger than Him. I rejoice to this day that when I was in all the black arts, that He appeared to me and I knew He was stronger than the devil. Because I know it for fact. I knew it. I knew it when I wasn't a believer. The devils know it better than the believers do that He's got that authority. They just know if they bombard a person enough, they'll give in to them. Because they didn't take the steps it took to build up their most holy faith to withstand the fiery darts of the wicked. And they are full of fire. And usually when you get hit by two or three darts, you'll notice there's some poison in them. And if you don't get that pulled out of you and cleaned out of you and ask the Lord to help cleanse you from all these things and the stinking thinking, I call it, to where they're trying to get you to indict God, the next thing you know, if you're not careful, you're a mess. I have been a mess before. I'm telling you from experience, it took me times that I had to fast and pray till I couldn't stand up anymore to break some of the stuff that the enemy was doing. We need to overcome the situation. We really do need to be able to throw our rod down and have our serpent eat theirs. They got so many psychics and mediums that can outdo most of the prophets of God in words of knowledge and accuracy. Because their operation is with a familiar spirit that's here that can run over and listen to the person what they're saying. They've been eternal. They can tell them what their grandpa had said and be as accurate as the day is long and still not be a god. I bounded up one time on a guy that was preaching years and years ago. I just had to do it. It's like that irresistible urge for a candy bar. Just had to do it. I said, Lord, I don't believe this man's a god, and I'm going to bind up the familiar spirit out of operation. The man paced. He said, I don't know why. I can't say anything. Don't know why. You know why he couldn't? Because it bound up the familiar spirit that was reporting to him. Makes life interesting. Satan has people in churches. He's got people praying around the clock 24/7 for your failure. He's good at that. I want you to fail. I want the family, the Christians, to fail. No victory coming. Poverty's on the uprise. Illnesses are on the uprise. So what do we do? Well, let's go home and watch Charmed. I'm sure. You got these little kids going, I want to be a witch. I'm going to marry a demon when I grow up. Yeah, keep talking. You'll have plenty of them to marry. But it's true. All the shows have turned to mediums, psychics, Charmed. Charm's the one that makes me sick. There's no such thing as a good witch. Going to save the world from demons after they marry one or two of them. You know, they're going to convert them. To what? But it's showing all the time. Why, the police can't even solve a crime now without a psychic. Isn't that pitiful? We need to take back what the enemy stole. A lot of these people really truly have a gift from God. The devil has just perverted it. They, some of them really have a gift. Some of them don't. Some of them really are in full operation of familiar spirits. And if you bound them up, they couldn't do nothing. They couldn't prophesy to their big toe if you bound it up. The only thing I can do with them, and I have done, I'll use Bronk. You can be a gypsy fortune teller. Crystal ball gazing and all that stuff. And I don't know what it is about me. I just seem to irritate these kind of people. And one of them was sitting there going, I'll read your fortune. I'll read it. I'll read your fortune. Come here. I'll read it. And I took her hand. And I said, no, let me tell you your future. I said, I used to be just like you. I said, except I was probably meaner. I said, I sent big devils out to hurt and destroy people. And I said, but let me tell you what your future is if you keep serving him. I said, you'll burn in hell for eternity. And I said, Jesus loves you, and she's trying to pull away from you, and I got a grip. And I said, I'm not through talking, ma'am. And I said, he loves you, and I want you to think about this. And I said, because if you don't turn away from this, I said, he will destroy you. And she's like, and I let go, and she went, boom. Of course, I'm timid and shy. I don't like what the devil does to people, and all they're in it for usually is to make money, misleading people. You know, I know a lady that's turned away from it down in Louisiana. She used to suck $10,000 at a time out of people, telling them junk. Oh, yeah, Mr. Dreamboat's coming any minute now. For $5,000 more, I'll tell you what he looks like. For $10,000 more, I'll plan your wedding. And they think the first one that comes along is Mr. Right. Because, you know, devils can activate people to come. Buy you flowers, a box of candy, find out how much money you got, run you to the altar. That's it. Male or female. He's good at what he does. I told him, I said, the devil's good at sending counterfeits. I ought to know. I had four of them. We laughed about pieces of paper. I said, if you had to put all my names on one piece of paper, there wouldn't be room to write the letter. Isn't that sad? But God still loves me. He knows I was just living in a lemon tree grove. There's good people out there. I just didn't know where they were. But he'll do that for men and women. If you got somebody good, they said, well, the grass is always greener on the other side. I said, nah, it's not. I said, you eat stuff that's too green, it's not good for you, just give you a bellyache. Amen. We can't keep listening to the devil. The grass isn't always greener. He said to be content with the wife or husband of your youth. And I said, well, I had people tell me all the time too, you have to go back to your first husband. And I said, oh, that's not happening. And I said, really, out of the four, which one would I go back? Then one of them said, well, no, you'd have to go back to your last husband. Well, I said, but what happens to the other three then? They don't know what to do with people like me. God forgave me of all that, and I had grounds for divorce with every one of them. People need to get out of that condemnation role. The devil wants to beat you up on every corner. But we need godly men. We need godly women to make a stand for what's right. Because if you become unequally yoked, it's a hard wagon to pull. Mine kept tipping over. I think I was the big plow horse and he was the little jackass. And to think I found three of them. Oh, four. I found the whole herd. They'd be working when I met them. The minute I married them, they'd quit. I'd support them and all the kids. Then I couldn't trust them babysitting because they'd molest the kids. When I'd find that out, they'd run out of the state because they was fearful. And they had a right to be. I'd have killed them. And that is a lot of fear when they'll turn themselves into a district attorney when they hear you're coming. That's what happened with one of them. Only one of them molested. One's enough. I thought I protected my kids better than that. But the devil will manage. But when he heard I was coming, he turned himself in to the DA. I said, I'm coming. I said, don't go to sleep. I said, I'll find you. And he turned himself in. Of course, I wasn't born again then. I was backslid. But that just tells you how the devil operates. I really am grateful to this day that I didn't have a ministry. You know, they said, you have a prison ministry? And I said, almost from the inside out. I'm grateful that I don't. I do visit prisons. I've been to maximum security in Minnesota. Been to just the regular workhouses. And every one of them was set up by the devil, I'm telling you the truth. Some of them were in there for murder. Some for beating kids. Some of them, it's just horrible what goes on in there. And every one of them will tell you they're innocent. And some of them actually are. But the devil will set them up. And he'll keep trying to destroy them until they just don't have any hope anymore. But most of us here are locked up in a prison of fear or hopelessness. We don't think that, you know, God's going to meet our needs, so we go out there and try to help God and make really bad decisions. I can tell you that's true because I made a lot of those bad decisions. The best one I ever made is when I said, Jesus, I want all of you and I want you in my life and I want you here for good. You are my Redeemer. You are my hope. Your word never fails, therefore I don't have to be a failure anymore. Now when you go through as many things as I've been through that way, you felt like a failure. But you have God's wisdom. None of us are dumb. None. Not as long as we have God. I love Him. I love Him so much. Because when people judged me and crucified me, he picked me up and he dusted me off and he said, Donner, you can do it. So can you. He's not a respecter of persons. Amen?
Amen.
There's nobody, in my opinion, as long as they say they love the Lord and as long as they try, there's not one person ever to me is a failure. Not one. And then when that didn't work, Jesus said unto him, It is written, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And again the devil take him up an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. See, that's what he wants. His ultimate goal is he wants to take the position in our life that God has so he can destroy us, because we were made in the express image of God. So if we learn through staying in the Word, and we learn through meditating and praying and telling Him daily how much you love Him, it'll get harder and harder and harder for the devil to deceive you. Isn't that awesome? That your discernment will get so sharp, even when they come as an angel of light, you can go, no, that's not God. Even though thousands are promoting them. No, that's not God. I got sent an email about the guy here in Florida that thinks he's Jesus. I think he's got thousands of followers. And they would follow him just like they did in Johannesburg. I didn't know Jesus drove a Mercedes. I didn't know. And he said he's the reincarnated Jesus. And I thought, God help us. Thousands and thousands of people are following this man. The reason being is there's no accountability. People love to serve when they never have to crucify their flesh. This man's telling them there is no hell and everybody's going to heaven, including all the Buddhists, all the Muslims, all the homosexuals, all the drunks. There's no accountability with what this man is preaching. Everybody's going to make it. Satan too. After all, God just created Satan to test us. It's pitiful, isn't it? Big businessmen are supporting this in the, get this wrong, 7 digits. Supporting it because there's no accountability. They've left their families, they've left their wives, they've left everything to follow this man. Scary, isn't it? And he does use the word Jesus. After all, he thinks he is Jesus. Now, I know Jesus, the new nature lives in us. But Bronk, when you start coming up and telling me you're Jesus, I'm going to say, Bronk, you're wrong, honey. Just send him to me, okay? No. Bronk would never do that. I'm just teasing. My Holy Ghost power going on here. I see you run now, Bronk. No. No, I'm just teasing. I'm glad he loves me. And so Jesus said unto him, It's written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil take him up to the exceeding high mountain, showing all the kingdoms of the world. Say, okay, well, Bronk, Satan's coming to see you. He's going to tell, well, I'll give you all, everything you need here. You know, I'm going to supply you with money. I'm going to supply you with the goods. You get you about 10,000 followers. Then, okay, then he'll manifest and take them out. That's all he's good for, is lying and deceit. See, he doesn't care if these churches prosper, if they're not promoting God. Oh, go ahead. Let them have a seat. Set them up in your worship and set them up in your staff and on your board and let that perverse devil saturate all over your body. We'll show them it's okay to be gay. Send those poor people to hell because you won't tell them the truth. It's pitiful. And we're, as a whole, the body of Christ is allowing all this stuff to be filtered in. And the biggest reason is they don't want their finances cut off. The biggest reason. The biggest attendance and the biggest money. If you have a church that seats 10, 15,000, you know, all they have to do is give a buck a piece a day. That's a lot of money. But wait until you set them up and they start giving you hundreds of thousands, because there's no accountability. It's okay to be this way. It's okay to be a fornicator. It's okay to be gay. It's okay to be this. It's okay to be that. We'll just go and get sloppy grace and clean you up a little bit. You know, just lift your hands in church now. You'll be all right. Baloney. Baloney. We need to clean it up. He said, it began with the house of God. We want to go out and change the whole world. And we need to change what's in here first.
Yes.
Amen?
Hallelujah.
I don't like compromise. Can you tell? Gets me in trouble. They wouldn't air one of the TV programs I did in Minnesota because I spoke out against some sin. Well, that could be considered a hate message. And I said, well, that'd be a lie. I loved them enough to tell them the truth. Where's the hate? But I am seeing homosexuals get set free in some of my meetings. Amen? I am seeing drug addicts get set free. There was a guy that came in one of my meetings, had so many tracks, he looked like a pincushion. Prayed for him that day. Couldn't hardly stand up. He came to the next meeting 2 days later, and I didn't recognize him. He looked so good. God did a quick work.
Hallelujah.
He was on his last stand when they brought him in. I love how God does that. He doesn't care where you've been. He just cares where you're going. Then, this is what we should be saying. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Him only. But you see that in that whole caption, he lied. Because he already knew he was the Son of God, so he lied. He's full of deception from the beginning. If he can convince you it's okay to be this way or that, it's okay to have two opinions because you're around two different people, you're easily swayed, you're tossed to and fro, it's not going to work. He warns even in the Old Testament not to be caught between two opinions. We used to do it to poor old Steve when we was kids. Steve, you want to see a fight between me and Margaret? Margaret would stand there and I'd stand here. We'd put him in the middle and we'd start slapping each other and he'd get all of it. Poor guy. We didn't hit him hard. First time Steve brought his wife to meet me, he said, there she is. That's the one that used to beat me up. And I'm like, who? Didn't know you remembered so much. Poor guy. And I used to always call him my little brother. Now, if you ever saw Steve, you'd know that's a lie. He's my younger brother. But to me, he's always my little brother. He's my baby brother, and I love him. My baby brother's pretty big, isn't he, bro? 6 foot, something. Was a policeman for 20 years. I said, I don't think I'll be slapping you anymore, Steve. I said, but I think I can still outrun you, so if I do slap you, I'm gone. But he's, you know, we used to pick on him all the time because he's so gullible. He wanted, being the youngest, he wanted to please all the older siblings. You can't please everybody. He's going to be a mountaineer with Bud. And he'd go trap and go in the mountains and do all this stuff. They're going to do all that. And I'd be sneaking around turning all the chipmunks loose out of their traps. I was going to save the world. You know. Then when he was with me, he wanted to be what I was. Then when he was with my oldest sister, it was whatever she said. Poor guy, he just got shredded. But that's the way it is in the body of Christ. Now, he's not that way anymore. He's got his own opinion. And it's for God. Amen. He's tough. I have a lot of respect for both my brothers. Actually, I was the one caught in the middle of two boys. Makes you tough. Actually, my oldest brother was real good to me. He taught me how to fist fight. All the girls were pulling hair and I was knocking their lights out. But that's the way we need to do it with the devil too. We can't let the enemy rule and reign. We can't have two opinions. Either we're going to serve God or we're not. If you're having difficulties doing it, ask God to help you. Ask Him. Ask Him. He's quick and He's just and He's faithful. And He's not about to let you down. Amen? Would you come up? I want to pray for you. I feel it changing. Hallelujah. How many of you hate the devil? Amen. How many of you hate all his devils? Amen. Me too. We're going to get a big t-shirt that says, I hate the devil. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.